Good morning. Welcome into Locked On Patriots for Tuesday, April 17th, 2018. Mark Schofield back in the big chair, as I will be 5 days a week as we get through the draft. The draft just almost a week away now. We're getting closer and closer each day. Reminder to follow me on Twitter at Mark Schofield. Follow the work over at InsideThePylon.com, Pro Football Weekly, as well as other outlets. Over at Inside the Pylon, I'm starting my countdown of my top 20 quarterbacks in this draft, unveiled quarterbacks 20 through 16, which I'll touch on briefly. Also, we're going to talk offensive linemen in the draft as sort of my draft preview. I'm going through positions of need for the Patriots and identifying some players to look at each spot in the draft. We're going to talk some tackles and guards today. Before we do that, though, shout out to everybody who competed in the Boston Marathon yesterday. My boy Jason Burke, my boy Sean Feeney. Tough conditions up there, but hats off to all of you for doing it, including Berkey doing the Boston Double. Also, shout out to my mom and dad on their wedding anniversary, April 16th. Hat tip to them as well. But before we get into offensive tackles, offensive guards, before we talk quarterback rankings for a moment, we have to wonder if it's panic time. Tom Brady, Robert Gronkowski not showing up for phase one of OTAs. Now, that's probably nothing to really get too worked up over. Phase one of OTAs, really just sort of conditioning, rehabilitation. Not too much to worry about. Tom Curran pointed that out today on Twitter. Recorded this on Monday afternoon. But perhaps the more noteworthy thing was a tweet from Kirk Manahan, talking about how the Patriots might be shopping Robert Gronkowski on the trade market. Now, during Gronkowski's offseason that was set in motion with his comments after the Super Bowl, where he basically said he'll have to think about coming back, my thought was always one that, look, he wants a new deal. I talked on a couple of different shows, you know, he's probably not that interested in renegotiating a contract that's basically in the same area where he is right now. He's not paid a ton of money in terms of guaranteed money. So he probably wants to get a better deal for himself, which is understandable. It's a business. Well, the issue then becomes, look, if you're the Patriots and you know he wants a new deal, what do the Patriots often do when it's time to renegotiate a contract? Rather than pay somebody more than they want, they get what they can for them. They make a deal with them. You know, they've traded guys like Chandler Jones. Traded guys like Collins. You know, this is kind of a Patriots move. We've seen them do it over and over again. Richard Seymour. And so you do wonder if this is going to be another situation where they decide to move on from a player. As crazy as that might sound, moving on from potentially the greatest tight end of all time, maybe they do that. Or maybe it's posture it on their side. Okay, Rob, I get that you want a new deal. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want to stay in New England? Do you want to stay in New England? If so, we can make something work out that's beneficial to both parties. If not, look, we're entertaining the idea of moving on. You know, if you really want a guaranteed deal, okay. You might have to play for a different team. You might have to get that with the Bengals. Just throwing a team out there. And so I do think that there's a little bit of posturing on both sides. Is it possible that Robert Gronkowski leaves New England? Of course it is. You know, I don't think there's any player other than Tom Brady who, you know, you can't rule out the possibility that they're going to be finishing their career or potentially even playing next season wearing a different uniform. That's just part of the nature of the business, more so in New England perhaps than with other teams, but you're seeing guys like Dez Bryant move on. It's part of the business of football. Also part of the business of football is the draft. Let's talk quarterback rankings here for a split second here. As I mentioned, look, my quarterback rankings are starting to come out over at InsideThePylon.com. I'm ranking my top 20, kind of working from the bottom to the top. So that debuted with quarterbacks 20 through 16 on Monday. I did mention some guys at the beginning, Jeremiah Briscoe, Nick Stevens, Devontae Kincaid, Kyle Allen, Kenny Hill, Matt Linehan. Those are some names that, look, they're not in my top 20, but don't be surprised to see those guys in camp. Some of those guys might earn a practice squad spot. You know, I wondered if Matt Linehan was sort of the next C.J. Beathard back almost, you know, just over a year ago when I started studying him. Kincaid is an incredible athlete. Nick Stevens has some nice things to him. Jeremiah Briscoe, the kid from Sam Houston State, also a name to watch. But just quickly, starting quarterback 20, Chad Knopf from Princeton. I've talked about him on a couple of different places now, including on Bob Soucy's show on 98.5 The Sports Hub, the draft preview show that was on this past Sunday. Patriots have shown some interest in him. So he's a player to keep in mind. I think he would fit in New England. You know, so a potential, you know, seventh round pick, that first pick in the seventh round, or maybe a UDFA type. So he's number 20, 19, Peter Poulos from Holy Cross, a player that I've talked about here and other places. Did a video for him over on the YouTube channel at Inside the Pylon. YouTube.com/InsideThePylon. He's more of a West Coast guy. I think teams to watch include Baltimore, the Bears, the Chiefs. So he's quarterback 19. Quarterback 18, Tanner Lee from Nebraska. I think he projects more to a downfield passing offense. You know, a team to watch on him. Jacksonville maybe, Pittsburgh maybe. Maybe the Browns, you know, if they decide to get just one more guy into that quarterback room. Tanner Lee might be a guy they'd look for later in the draft after addressing quarterback, I'd assume at pick one. Quarterback 17, Brandon Silvers from Troy. He's somebody that I liked when I studied him last summer. Multiple year starter in a spread-based system that utilized a lot of RPO concepts. Good to very good footwork on both RPO mesh drops as well as his three-step drops from the shotgun. Tough quarterback. You know, pretty developed when it comes to using his eyes. He can move defenders with his eyes, can move second and third level defenders. Accuracy is inconsistent, does miss some throws high. Mechanics in the upper body can be spotty, but I think he's somebody that could run one of the modern offenses that blends spread, air raid, and West Coast concepts. Teams to watch might be the Jets, the Saints, the Rams, and the Raiders. And finally, JT Barrett. Quarterback 16 for me, very experienced player, got a lot of big game experience under his belt. I think the only three-time captain in Ohio State history, which given the players that have come through that program, that's a very impressive accomplishment. I think he fits on more, you know, a Norv Turner type offense, and wouldn't you know it, that's kind of where I think he might end up. Carolina Panthers, maybe the Jaguars, maybe the Cowboys, but Barrett, my quarterback 16, I'd look for him perhaps going to the Carolina Panthers, somebody that could develop into a backup quarterback someday. And that's kind of where I look at these guys right now. All these guys that I've mentioned, you're looking at guys that, you know, probably are developmental types that could project, could, in the right spot, end up maybe a QB2 at some point in their careers. Up next, we're going to start talking tackles and guards for the draft. As I've been doing sort of these preview shows, I'm going to have a couple of names at each spot of the draft that the Patriots might want to consider. We're going to do both offensive guards and offensive tackles today. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, in Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now, and we're going to talk offensive tackles, offensive guards for the upcoming draft. I'm going to work through New England's current stable of picks, identify a couple of players that, you know, what are both positions for each pick that the Patriots might want to have in mind that I think would be good values there, that I think would make some good fits for the New England Patriots. Let's start with that first pick in the second round at pick 23. If the Patriots stay here, if they address offensive line here, two names I really like, one maybe might be a little bit of a, you know, a situation where you hope they fall. The other, this might be the sweet spot for them. First, the guy might be the sweet spot for Isaiah Wynn, offensive tackle slash guard from the University of Georgia. I've been talking about him a ton, I know. You might even be sick of me talking about Isaiah Wynn. But I just really like this kid. I like his versatility. I like what he brings to the table, both, you know, having played left tackle in the SEC. And then you see him down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, kicking inside to sort of a newer position. What does he do? He stands out there as well. I thought he did such a great job, you know, down in Mobile. You know, I really sort of look at him and I see a guy that can come in, that can play left tackle in the National Football League, that could obviously play guard in the National Football League. We liked him over at Inside the Pylon. He was our interior lineman too. Strengths we identified: football intelligence, toughness, play speed, pass protection. And when you're talking about protecting Tom Brady being job one, that's critical to get an offensive guard that can do that. Marcus Johnson was our lead scout on him, and he wrote up, look, called him a dominant, technically developed, and scheme-diverse offensive guard who wins with his ability to locate his assignment, dominate with strength, attack angles, and to protect the quarterback. Can play offensive tackle in a pinch as well. I think because of that, it makes a ton of sense. And look, it's probably important now to remember, here's the current stable of offensive linemen with the New England Patriots. Projected starters: Adrian Waddle at left tackle, Joe Tooney at left guard, David Andrews at center, Shaq Mason at right guard, Marcus Cannon at right tackle. And behind them, Antonio Garcia, Matt Toobin. It's not the deepest group. You know, I think Mason and Andrews, maybe even Cannon, are probably locked in. You might see a battle there between Antonio Garcia and Waddle, but you wonder about Garcia's health. So you could use guys up front. You could use guys to add depth. So that's why I think these are both positions of need, both guard and tackle. So, you know, at 23, Isaiah Wynn, that might be the sweet spot for him. A guy that if perhaps he falls, I'd be stunned, but I'd also be overjoyed in a sense to see the Patriots get a chance. And that would be Connor Williams. You're looking at him as a tackle, but there's even the potential that he could kick inside as well. Again, Connor Williams having played offensive tackle at Texas. We had him as our offensive tackle one over in the inside the pylon draft guide. But you're hearing rumblings that he might fall. Marcus Johnson, our lead scout for him, over at the ITP draft guide. Williams is a tackle whose 2016 tape was better than his 2017 tape, largely due to injury. He's a strong gap-blocking tackle and is good at picking up stunts and blitzes and pass protection, but he'll struggle with athletic pass rushers. And that sort of gets you to the offensive guard. Do you then kick him inside? But if he's, you know, there's an injury there. He missed 8 games with a left MCL sprain. It did not require surgery. But if he's there, it's definitely worth consideration. Especially, again, when you have that versatility. So those are two versatile guys to consider at 23. At 31, a little bit later in the draft, we're going to see some familiar names that we've talked about a lot. Colton Miller and Tyrell Crosby, the two tackles. Colton Miller from UCLA, Tyrell Crosby from Oregon, two Pac-12 kids. And then Will Hernandez, the mauler-type guard from UTEP. We'll talk Hernandez first. Love that kid. You know, another tough kid on the inside. I think you need some, you know, you need that level of toughness on the interior of the offensive line. And, you know, he brings that. You know, that's what Will Hernandez brings. I think he would be a great fit for the New England Patriots if you're looking to add that sort of edge up front. And when you study him on tape, that comes out. You see him just dominating people up front. And that, you know, you can't get enough of that when it comes to putting together an offensive line. Marcus Johnson, our lead scout, our short but powerful offensive guard that is tailor-made for a power run scheme where he can take advantage of his strength, use of hands, and down-blocking ability. We talked about the Patriots' run game. They do a lot of power stuff. He would be a good scheme fit. Then you get to Miller and Crosby, two more sort of rough-around-the-edges guys, I think. You know, guys that, especially with Miller, you know, you're looking for somebody that can be developed. That's Miller. Now, he was our offensive tackle 4. Plug-and-play prospect in the run game, but he struggles with his hand technique and pass set and pass protection. His elite length, athleticism, and good play strength suggest he can correct those issues. He's going to need development. Maybe he gets it from Dante Scarnecchia. You know, and then you come to Crosby, who, you know, we didn't love over at ITP. He was our offensive tackle 9, but I think the league kind of likes him more. Long, smart tackle with a mean streak. Has tools that allow him to be effective in a variety of run games. He'll need to improve his efficiency in his pass set and hand usage, or speed rushers will give him problems. Again, guys that might need a little bit of technique development, Dante Scarnecchia comes to mind. These, you know, this 31st pick, I think this is more in line with, you know, perhaps drafting one of these guys. Both of these guys might last until 43, but considering they're being linked so often to New England at 31, I wanted to talk about them in here. When we get to 43, Martinius Rankin, a tackle from Mississippi State who is really sort of flying under the radar right now. But over at ITP, we love this kid. You know, people aren't talking about Rankin enough right now. But when we looked at him, this was our offensive tackle 3 behind Connor Williams and Mike McGlinchey. And when we looked at Rankin, former JUCO tackle who can contribute all along the offensive line, has excellent athleticism and the ability to block in space with scheme diversity in the run game. He gets high with his pads and sometimes lungy in pass protection. That's from Will Silnelli, who was our lead scout on him. But he described him as somebody that has rare play speed. He is quick with his initial step and explosive, has explosiveness to beat the defender to almost any spot. Excellent puller, which would help in a possible transition to offensive guard. We talked a lot about pulling blockers this year, you know, when we were breaking down tape on the Patriots. Strengths, athletic ability, play speed, drive block and power block, and competitive toughness and blocking in space. You know, the league's not talking about him enough. You don't hear a ton about Rankin, but don't be surprised to see him creep up the closer and closer we get to the draft. I think more people are circling back on him and being excited about it. He struggled against Myles Garrett. LSU's 99 gave him a tough time as well. But still, you know, you're talking about an SEC left tackle here. You know, I think at that 43rd spot, great sort of value for him. Finally, we're going to talk about that last second round pick here. Talk about, again, another name that we're not hearing a ton about, but I know a lot of people really like this kid. That's Austin Corbett, guard from Nevada. You're looking at that 63rd pick, the 31st pick in the second round. This is a spot where I like him. He may go higher. He was our interior lineman 8 over at ITP, but a very, you know, plug-and-play type of guy. Especially when you talk about what he does well on the interior of the offensive line. A former tackle with positional versatility that projects inside at the NFL level. Wins off his toughness and intelligence. Won't thrive in pass protection due to balance and hand placement issues. He's a 2-time captain, 4-year starter for Nevada. Started games at both offensive tackle positions. He's only played out of a 2-point stance in a spread offense. He'd have to learn to kick inside a little bit, so that would be a little bit of a projection there. Can be used as a 6th blocker. Very intelligent, shows excellent awareness and instincts to pick up blitzes, stunts, and twists. Strong initial punch and good hands to lock on and move his feet on contact. He's somebody that can give you depth at every single offensive line position as a rookie. Could potentially push for a starting spot on the interior as well as a rookie. And so you're talking about a guy at the 63rd pick that, again, you're getting good value there. Austin Corbett might be a name to look at. Versatile lineman from the University of Nevada. Up ahead, we're going to talk about those day two pick as well as the day 3 picks. Some, you know, more sleeper type offensive linemen. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now, and we're talking offensive guards and tackles today. Working through the Patriots draft board, their various picks during the 2018 NFL draft, identifying players that might be good fits in terms of value, scheme, and otherwise at each spot in the draft. We're going to talk about that 3rd-round pick at pick 95. Brian O'Neill, offensive tackle from the University of Pittsburgh. You know, I think, you know, he might... I know there are people like Mel Kiper that really sort of like him. You know, I wasn't really blown away by him down in Mobile. Although, I got to say, I was walking next to him and 6'6", 297 is legit. I mean, that's a big boy. A supremely athletic offensive tackle that will need to capitalize on his natural gifts to meet his potential. Ready to step in and execute in a zone blocking scheme, but needs considerable work in pass pro and anchor. And that's from Marcus Johnson, our lead scout on him from Inside the Pylon. A guy that excels in down blocks, very good on reach blocks. But he does struggle in pass protection, just struggle to anchor. Showed a lack of lower body strength, struggles holding his ground, and can be pushed back in the pocket. Those are some things that showed up on tape. Now you might wonder, look, lower body strength struggles, 1.7 10-yard split, 4.8 40-yard dash for a man that size, that's kind of impressive. Vertical jump of 29.5 inches, broad jump of 107 inches. And that might be why he kind of moves up on boards. But if he's there at 95, I do like Brian O'Neill there out of Pittsburgh. Then we get that long delay until the sixth round. We're going to talk some, you know, really sort of under, you know, under the radar guys right now. Joseph Nopum in the sixth round, offensive tackle from TCU, although he might be moving up boards as well. Fourth fastest 40-yard dash time among offensive linemen at the combine, 4.96. CBS Sports has him as the number 9 tackle, number 110 prospect overall. Over at ITP, we were a little bit lower on him than other people have on him right now. I mean, we look at Nopum, and it's taking me a second here to find where we have him. There he is. We have him at the 201st prospect overall. But I do think that because of, again, you know, some athleticism there, could use some development. If he's there at 198, I'm completely on board with it. So Joseph Nopum, left tackle from TCU, another name to watch here. Now we're going to talk about that pick at 210. We're going to talk about Colby Gossett, offensive guard from Appalachian State. When we looked at him over at ITP, he ended up ranked 217 on our big board, which, again, you can use over at fanspeak.com to do your own mock drafts. You look at him, started all 13 games as a right guard in 2017, was a first-team All-Sun Belt pick this past season. As a junior, he was an all-first-team conference pick as well. Played pretty well against Tennessee and Miami. Started 11 games at right guard, 2 at right tackle. So you see some versatility there. As a sophomore, started the first 7 games of the season at right guard, the final 6 at right tackle. You know, he's somebody that the NFL probably might be higher on than we were over at ITP, but, you know, similar to some of the discussions we've had, if he's there because of how the board falls at 210, I think that would be a great fit. And finally, let's round it out with Zachary Crabtree, offensive tackle from Oklahoma State. Another big player, 6'7", 310. Started 12 games at right tackle. Was first team all Big 12 this past season. Redshirted as his first year at Oklahoma State. Then started as a redshirt freshman. 8 games at right tackle. Was a full-time starter at right tackle in 2015. Second team all Big 12 as a junior, again, at right tackle. You know, you do wonder if he's just a right tackle in the National Football League. Not that that's not an important position. It certainly is. But does he have the versatility that some of the these other guys that we've talked about bring to the table? But when you're talking about the first pick in the seventh round, if he's there, again, it's a good fit. So those are some names at guard and tackle to keep in mind. Tomorrow we're going to forge on. We're going to talk tight ends. I know we've talked about tight ends a lot, but it's actually strange. Let me just say this for a second. I thought the people were going to be higher on this tight end class than they ended up being. You know, I thought this was a really, really good, if not potentially great tight end group, and people seem to be sour on it. I don't know why that's happening close to the draft. I think there are some great, great, great tight ends in this group, some versatile players in there, and that's what we'll talk about on Wednesday's show. Until then, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.